Hey Session family, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling? What is up? My name is Raquel Simmons and I am a marriage and family therapist. And you are now tuned in to In Session's very own Uncomfortable Conversation podcast. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Enjoy the show.
All right. Hey family, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling? What is up? We are back with another episode. And listen, I know y'all enjoy my guest episodes because I've been coming back and forth with them with the hits, okay? So let me know in the comments if you guys are enjoying the guest episodes because I personally am enjoying. And this episode is going to be probably one of my favorite ones, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I just feel it. I have that feeling. One, because our guest today is amazing. I've been like recently following her and I'm already captivated by all the things that she has going on. And the topic that we have in store is probably this is probably going to be for me. Like, maybe that's maybe I'm excited because this is probably going to be for me and maybe some of you guys, but definitely for me. So I have the amazing Tanisha Johnson with me. Please introduce yourself and welcome to Uncomfortable Conversations podcast. Like,
hi, thank you, Raquel, so much for having me. Hi, everyone. It is an honor to be here with you guys. And so my name is Tanisha Johnson, aka TJ Self Care, and I am a writer, a social worker, and an author. I'm a self-help author. And one of the biggest things that I think I started this was is because of my own journey and trying to heal from people pleasing and codependency. I always used to write even as a child, and I kind of let go of it because I thought it was a dream. And I transitioned into doing social work and just started going on that escalator, you know, of getting the bachelor's, getting the master's. I applied to get my license. I'm still doing my license hours. Nice. And then I realized in the process of healing that I really love to write. And so I decided to go back to writing. And now, you know, here we are 11,000 followers later. So the platform just kind of happened, you know, within like 4 years. All of a sudden, awesome. I had all these people following me, and so it's been a wonderful experience to support other people.
Awesome! Oh my goodness! Like, first off, congratulations on all of your journeys to even get in here, and staying consistent, persistent, and true to who you are. Because, like you said, a lot of times our dreams as children become just those and don't even speak about when we get into an adult and we stop imagining like we could do certain things. So I'm definitely proud that you kept going. Like, that's awesome. So kudos to you and keep going. This is a very hard field. I don't know if you know, but I'm a marriage and family therapist. And so it is a very, very difficult, you know, the therapy realm, social work realm, it's hard, you know? We doing the Lord's work, but oh my goodness, like, it's rough, so.
I can't imagine the stories you hear, too, with families. It's a lot.
Keep going. You know, it has its perks, its ups and downs, the stories, but it's definitely rewarding. It's a rewarding field. So please don't stop that. Keep going. And you guys, she got a book out. Like, we're going to get to that. We want to get to the icebreakers because she was saying all the things about how she kept writing. And I want to know all the things and we're going to get to it. But first we have our icebreaker cards. So because you don't have them yet, I am going to, so you know, I'm not like cheating. They all say different things. I wrote these, what they say, in a wide variety of different phases in my life. So I don't even know what they say fully. So this is the individual edition. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spread them out and you are going to pick which one. I'm going to read it out loud. I'm like,
Let's see. You know, I'm gonna do the first one.
this one?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Why not? I was gonna pick one in the middle.
Wow,
I was like, just do the
wait.
first one.
I promise you, I'm gonna read this, but I swear this is not rigged. I swear, like literally, you guys, I don't know if you guys can see, but they all say different things. But this is so funny that you picked this card. Let me read it. All right. So it says, if your life was a book, what chapter would you currently be on? Isn't
That
it wild?
is crazy. Wow,
That is
I
crazy. Talk about alignment. Wait, that is wild.
was not expecting that.
I
Wow.
was not either.
This was a
That is
book.
hilarious. Well, let's get into it. Wow, that is that's golden. This is gonna be a
Wow.
great episode. I can already feel it.
If your life was a book, what chapter would you be in? I probably would be in chapter. Well, I guess it depends on how many chapters the book has, but I feel like I would be towards the, I would be a little past the middle, like maybe chapter 6 or 7.
Okay, what will be the name of that chapter?
Transitions.
Okay. I like it. It's solid. That was a solid answer. Appreciate that. That was good. Great segue too. Speaking
Wow.
of books. Speaking of books, healing doesn't look like that. First off, you guys, I haven't gotten the book yet, but I am gonna order it. Just like already, I'm eager to read it just because of the way, one, the way you've marketed it is amazing.
Thank you.
But also, I just feel like I think I'm like, why haven't I bought it yet? But I think I'm scared to read it. So maybe after this conversation, we'll see what happens. But I think I'm a little nervous to read it because sometimes we read things and we know exactly what's happening. Like, you just
Yeah.
read something, it's like, dang, that's what that was, you know? Or you, it's like, oh,
You're a
okay.
therapist too, so you're probably picking up on the
Oh,
vibe.
please. I can analyze things in like 2.5 seconds just by default. Anyway, so healing doesn't look like that. Could you just kind of speak a little bit more about the why is that name?
Yeah, so the funny thing is too, I wanted to share with you, okay. So it was supposed to be called Joy Is on the Horizon.
Okay.
When I first was gonna write the book. And as I was writing the book, that title just didn't fit with the book. And so I kept thinking about another title. My editor was like, maybe we should think about other titles. And Healing Doesn't Look Like That came to me. And I made that the title because in the process of me writing the book, I was learning that, okay, this process isn't as easy as it was the first time. And I was trying to figure out why, because my first book, I wrote it in 3 months. This one took 3 years. And I was trying to figure out why it was so challenging. And I think it was because I was reliving all the things that I had been through trying to discover who I was. We have sometimes we don't look back, because it's painful to look back. We just want to thank God that we got through it and keep moving. And that's kind of where I was in my life. Like, cool, okay, that's over. We're moving on. But in order to write a book that could support other people, I knew I had to reflect back. And so I was like, wow, yeah, healing doesn't look like that fit because the journey in my mind that I thought I was going to take isn't what ended up happening.
Wow. What was it like reliving that though? And that I think that's why and when you said the chapter would be called Transition, and I'm just like, wow, that's like super fitting because even hearing the name of the book, you had to relive those different circumstances or thought process or even rethink certain things in a different way in order to have it written down on paper. Like, how was that process?
It was really, really hard. I cried a lot. There were a lot of nights that I was like, do I want to release this book? That was the thing that I kept putting in my mind. Do I really want to be this exposed? Because my first book, I was exposed, but I had accepted my diagnosis, well, back then in 20, what was that? Sometimes I can't remember. It's crazy how old I am. I'm like, that's right, I'm 40 now. I was 28 then, so that's 12 years. 12 years ago, it was called dysthymia, but now they're calling it like persistent depression disorder. So I had accepted, that that was my condition. But with this one, I was really sharing the stories of what it really felt like, to heal and actually use all the principles that I was learning. Because on my journey, I decided to go to Codependent Anonymous meetings. And I went to the meetings for like 4 years. It was like my therapist, she MFT too, she had recommended that I go in combination with going to therapy. So I was in grad school too, and I was like, oh, I don't think I need all that. I'm just gonna see her every 2 weeks, and read a couple of books, and I'll be fine.
I feel that.
I was like, I don't need that, like I'm good. But as we kept talking about stuff, I was realizing, like, wow, after I process things with her, I have to wait 2 whole weeks to process again. And I was like, maybe I should go to the meeting. So I started going to the meetings, and then everybody just kept saying, everybody was looking so happy and how life is so much easier. Like, oh, I'm setting boundaries and I'm not dealing with people that hurt me anymore. And life is just grand. And I was waiting for that feeling. I'm like, well, when am I gonna do that? Like, I'm setting boundaries. I'm letting go of people who have toxic energy. I still feel stuck. And so I wrote this book for that person. Because I wish I would have had somebody on the side to say, Tanisha, that's actually just the beginning. Healing is really about you discovering who you are outside of the life you lived. It's about you letting, it's not about setting the boundary. That's actually the easy part. The challenging part is sitting in the feelings when you see the person's response. And not feeling guilt and shame about it. I had a lot of guilt and shame, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I would always feel horrible every time I set a boundary. And I wish I would have had somebody that said, that's what you should be talking about in therapy. You should be talking about the shame, the guilt. Where are these feelings like originating from within you?
Oh my goodness. Thank you. I'm listening to you speak and I'm just like tuned in because I literally had this conversation the other day with one of my friends. Because I couldn't get into words how what where I was in this space in my lifetime. But I was just like, so I don't feel super low, but I don't really feel high, but I don't feel like I'm in the middle. And so the example that I had given her was like the same thing that you're saying is like my entire childhood, setting boundaries or using that vocabulary is very new. And so I didn't obviously know how to do that. And so I grew up in that space where I'm, trying to please, trying to fit in, like, especially when it came to my siblings, like I really wanted to fit in. Like I'm so different. We have different paths, different life, and I just wanted them to like see me as being cool. And so I adapted that type of lifestyle. However, now I'm in a space where I'm like, no. I'm trying to set in those boundaries with my family, with my friends, identifying what's going on. It's a whole thing going on. So what I was saying though is I don't like the feeling that I'm in now and the season that I'm in now is this is so strange because it's exactly what you said. Like maybe I'm like, get you give me hope that I'm getting there because it's like That is it. That's the feeling. I don't know what, like, setting the boundaries was the easy part. You know, it's like, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to live. It's that how you feel afterwards, like how people started to respond and how you've been accustomed to doing all the things and pleasing everyone. And now you have to redefine who you are because you've spent so much time doing that. And now that you're setting boundaries, it's like, oh wait, I don't know who I am after this. Like, once I stop pleasing, what is it, you know, what's left, you know?
Right.
Now you have to sit with yourself and learn to please yourself. But it's like, wait, I've been doing this for so long. How do I do that for me? Man, it's work.
It is. That's where
it's
the real
work,
work
but,
is.
Wow. All right. Sorry. What was your motivation to write this book?
Well, the motivation for this one actually was my first one.
Okay.
Because so the funny part too, Raquel, is like, even in the midst of this whole journey of like becoming a writer, I wasn't set up to be a coach. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I thought that I was just going to write my book. And then, you know, maybe a few family members or whatever would buy it, or maybe it'd go to a couple of book events, and that would be it. And when I released the book, I released it like right before the pandemic. So I didn't get a chance to like go out into the community or anything. So I had to figure out, okay, well, how am I going to promote this book? So I started using Instagram, and all these people from everywhere started buying the book,
Wow.
and people started reaching out to me saying, hey, do you do any coaching? Are you a therapist? I would love to work with you. And I was explaining to people, well, I'm in the process of getting my license, but technically I can't offer any type of counseling to you. So then I got certified as a life coach, and then I started doing the life coaching. And that just morphed into, all of a sudden, that's what I became. I became like this life coach. And I had to sit down and say, but wait a minute, like, I lost my dream. My dream was to write. You know, I kind of let other people start telling me what's best for me, because I was hiring business coaches, and they were like, well, you know, you just write the book to market the coaching. And I said, no, I actually want to write a book and that be it, like to write a book to help people. And so that's when I came up with the idea that that's what I'll do. And that's also the reason why this book comes with a digital workbook. And for everybody who gets the book, like in the little introduction period, I encourage people that when you go to therapy, download the workbook. And bring it with you, because that's what I wish. Every time I tell a story, I almost cry. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars just complaining about people. And my therapist helped me a lot. But if I would have had a digital workbook like the one I put in my book, and I brought that to therapy, I probably would be 35 and feeling this happy versus 40 and feeling this happy.
Wow. So the workbook comes along with the actual book, even if you get it through like Amazon or anything.
Yeah, even if they get it through Amazon, I put a QR code on there. So anywhere someone buys it, they'll be able to download the workbook for free, because that was important to me, that they
Wow.
have a guide. I didn't mean for it to be 30 pages. That's just how
listen,
it turned
listen.
Out.
Good material is good material. Simple. Wow. That is awesome. Oh my goodness. Listen, y'all hear that? There's no excuse here. All right. We're gonna keep going, but get this book. All the information for the book is going to be in the description. I'm gonna post it all. We're gonna get it. All of us, we're gonna get it together. We're gonna read and we're gonna flood Tanisha's inbox to let her know how good this read was and everything.
Yeah.
Y'all just wait. All right. So, what does this book mean to you?
This book is really special to me, probably because I envision myself writing a few more books, and like this one
Nice.
probably always will be special. Because I
Nice.
share the story of, I share the raw story of real life experiences that were going on for me. Because I was trying to heal from people pleasing, and so it's gonna be special.
Nice. All right, last question on the book, and then we're gonna go into our topic. What do you hope people get away from reading this book?
The biggest thing I hope people get away from is the being overcritical of themselves while they're healing, giving themselves self-compassion while they're on their journey. And then another big takeaway is I hope that everybody looks at their relationships in a much deeper way after reading the book.
Nice. Oh my goodness, you're gonna have me looking at my fiance like. And so when you said this, what you mad? Are you gonna start
What's
some
really going on?
trouble?
What's really going
Side eyeing while we're making breakfast, like,
on here?
Okay. All right. So today's topic is around codependency. And I feel like what I grasped through viewing your platform and what gravitated me towards your platform was your stance on and your thought processes on codependency in itself. So if you can give me or give us a kind of overview of how you see codependency.
So codependency is so many different definitions, but mine particular is codependency is a mindset that tells you that everyone else's feelings and thoughts are more important than yours. And so it's a cluster of behavior patterns that fall under codependency, like the people pleasing, minimizing your feelings, being passive aggressive, avoiding people, being controlling, all these different things that people do who are codependent in order to get their needs met in relationships.
Right. So where do you feel like people first start to realize or become like that level of codependent?
Well, it forms in childhood, like between the age of 0 to 6. That's where codependency is rooted.
Wow.
But people generally don't recognize it until their early 20s or early 30s. Normally, there's something traumatic that happens, that causes the person to reflect on their behavior.
Yeah, I remember one of the things that you were saying is like life could just be going so well, and then like bam, something happens. It's just like, but why did that happen? Or why did I respond? Or even if you run away from what has been, had you connected to that codependent lifestyle, like your childhood experiences, you would go so far, but if you don't address those specific issues, then you'll keep reliving it in a different realm. So that's definitely good. So how do you feel like that shows up within romantic relationships?
So with romantic relationships, it gets tricky because it turns into, because a lot of people ask me, well, how does the relationship turn into a codependent relationship? And anytime a codependent is in a relationship, it's always a codependent relationship. And it manifests because you have this one person who may be a little bit unsure about, decision making for themselves. They may be unsure about, lifestyle things that they're involved in. But one thing that they do very well is they're very charismatic, they're very polite, they're very empathetic, they're very sweet. And so then this other person, which is the codependent person, comes along, and that person sees their giving spirit, their nurturing spirit, and then they gravitate to it. So in the beginning, it appears to be this beautiful connection of people where the codependent is feeling loved, supported, the dependent person has their needs met, because the codependent is always thinking 1,000 miles ahead and planning things so things are well. And then all of a sudden conflict happens, even because the dependent person realizes that the codependent person is like taking control over everything and they get upset. Or the codependent person realizes that I'm doing everything in this relationship, and then they get upset, and then they start having passive aggressive behavior patterns towards their partner. And when those things happen, neither one of the people involved are happy. And that's generally when it goes awry.
I don't know why you're talking about me, but I thought you were. I don't know what's happening on my platform, but I think I'm done. Listen, listen. Not too much. Of, no, I'm just kidding. Or am I? But that was a great description. Oh my goodness, that was such a great description. So I know that you said that you was going to Codependency Anonymous work programs, right?
Meetings, yeah.
They meetings. Call them, I'm like, why I couldn't get it?
Coda meetings.
Because you're tripping me up talking about me through this whole platform. I don't know what's going on. Throw me off my game now. I wasn't expecting that. Oh,
he wasn't prepared for it to be this real.
So can you talk a little bit about what you were experiencing that actually led you to attend those meetings? Like, when was you feeling that like breaking point? Because your therapist suggested it, yes, and you didn't have to go. So what was that point where you was just like, all right, let me see about it? And then how did you feel when you were in it? Like, do you feel like it was helpful? Do you feel like you learned anything?
Yeah, so it was funny because I actually went to the meeting because a boyfriend that I had at the time, he lived in another city, and I would go and visit him. And he left me in the hotel one day. He never came back. And I was just kind of stuck, like, I don't know what's going on, what's happening.
Rightfully so.
I was calling. I don't know. To this day, I don't know if he blocked me or if he just, I don't know what he did. But I came back, you know, to California, and I was like, okay, something's going on with me. Because in reality, he was not my boyfriend. He was a friend that, you know, we had started being intimate and stuff. And looking back, I think he was really just a scapegoat for me for some stuff that I was going on in my personal life. And so I was controlling, you know, in the relationship. I had kind of forced myself out there because it was like around Valentine's Day. So I forced myself out there kind of. And, you know, I guess he decided that he didn't want to come. So when that happened, it made me wonder, well, Tanisha, why did you go to that extent for somebody that you really didn't know, that you had only really met face to face maybe like 10 times? You know, why did you fly all the way out there to see him? And that's why I went to the CODA meeting, because I was like, maybe something is really going on with me. You know, so that was a heavy hitter for me. Like, damn, I really am this codependent, whatever this is. Because I was still hoping that I wasn't, you know. I was like, I know I got a little low self-esteem, but it's not the name.
Right, it's a little easy to do it. You pick up, wear some different clothes or something.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no need, you know, to get fancy with the names and stuff. It's like, codependent, what is that? Like, that's not what I am, but I was.
Wow, so what kind of... Did you feel like the meetings was helpful, and what is like one really big takeaway that you've been able to gain with attending those meetings?
One big takeaway I would say for anybody who's thinking about it is keep going. Try different meetings, because one thing that happened to me is every meeting that I went with, the population, you know, it's like it just wasn't... What, like Kendrick Lamar says, like, they not like us. Like, I just kept going to meetings, you know, with other nationalities of people. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I just didn't feel a connection Because it really wasn't about color looking back. It was about economic status. It's like I was in rooms with women who like were crying because their sons was like on meth, and they were trying to sneak money to their children because they didn't want their husbands to find out. It was con different economic statuses. Like I was there for me, you know, and so it took me some time to find a group that was fitting. I think I went to like six or seven before I found one. So that's one takeaway I would say. Keep going, get the workbook, because they have a workbook that's really good. And do the steps, because the steps are foundational. I mean, they really are. If it wasn't for that 12-step program, I probably to this day, who knows, you know, where I would be, because they really lay out the foundation of how you can start living your new life.
Wow. Okay. Listen, there's a codependency workshop out there for everybody.
Yes,
Find your
it
group.
is. Yeah.
People
Coda.org.
pleasing. How do you feel like people pleasing, or what would you say people pleasing has to do with the codependency?
Well, people pleasing is one of the main things that codependents do. Some people actually like the word, they like to be called people pleasers versus codependents, and I respect that, you know. But the people pleasing is the biggest thing that codependents do well. And it's because, you know, we've had this lifestyle, some of us from, you know, toddler years, you know, and so we just automatically lean towards pleasing other people before ourselves.
What if you can, what do you feel like are some of, and I know you said between the ages of, oh, I hope I don't get this wrong, 0 to 6.
Yeah.
Look at me, okay. Anyway, zero to six. So what do you feel like some of the behaviors, or some examples, I'll say that some examples that like parents kind of give off to their children within that age group that might cause their children to then grow up to become codependent.
So parents that shame their children for, you know, basic behavior like not wanting to share or asking for more of something, shaming them, making them feel guilty. Parents are definitely gen so generally, I forgot to say this first, I'm sorry. Generally, codependents have parents that fall in specific categories. It's either a parent that struggles with drug and alcohol, they struggle with their mental health, or they have some type of physical disability that prevents them from being able to care for the child. Or it's a parent who is emotionally unstable for whatever reasons. It could be a teen parent or someone that just struggles with regulation. And so they struggle to be there to have that co-regulation experience with the child, you know, where you're teaching the child how to regulate because they don't know how to regulate their own emotions. And so from that, the child learns that if they somehow do exactly what the parent says, or you know, don't behave in the way that the parent is shaming them for or making them feel bad for, then things will be okay. Codependency is a survival skill, you know. It's not a way of life, it's the way that we survive. My story was, you know, I had a parent that was a narcissist, and so there was a lot of brutal, I guess, you know, the term would be discipline, I guess, if things didn't go a certain way. And so I learned to, okay, I have to adapt to whatever this person wants in order to be okay. And if nobody steps in to say, like, hey, you don't have to act this way anymore, then the child turns into a teenager who turns into an adult, believing all of these, you know, beliefs that they had in childhood. You know, it's my fault if things don't go right. If somebody's upset with me, I did something. I have to figure out what it is. Those are all things that we use as survival skills as children.
Wow. That's so crazy. The podcast that I just put out, the episode that I just put out was kind of shaping kind of a lot of the
Yeah,
things that
I
you
listened
said.
to
So,
it.
yeah, thank you, girl. Thank you. But it's like shaping a
Was
lot of things that you were saying, just specifically that age group of like, being not wanting to be in the way, but not knowing how to then balance out, okay, this is how I'm feeling, so let me just do it, do things myself, so I'm not like becoming a burden. So it's just like in a flip side, that could also be seen as being codependent because now you're not getting the type of love or care for that you possibly need because you have a parent who isn't available and isn't available in different areas like emotional, mentally, it's just not available. Wow, that's it. That's so interesting.
I know, right?
That's like I'm just like, wow, this is like phenomenal. I told you guys this is gonna be like one of my favorite ones, and it's heading there. So listen, no shade to the other ones. I appreciate you all,
Yes,
but
they were
this is
great.
fun. I just feel like this conversation is so full circle. So it's just very fulfilling. One of the things, or the next thing I kind of wanted to touch on is like the art of saying no. And when we speak about people pleasing, like why do you feel like setting the boundaries or even having conversations or teaching people how to say no, like why is that such a huge thing?
Saying no is a really big thing, for a lot of people, and it's primarily because we don't have experience with it. For many of us, when we did say no, the consequences were challenging and hard, and our subconscious remembers that. And so now, we're adults who, when it's time to say no or express ourselves, we literally don't have the playbook to do that. Because our brain has been wired to, you have to figure it out, you have to do it, there's no, if you don't do it, then that means that you're not a good person. So we force ourselves to do things even when we know that we can't do it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's one of the things I know. I'm like, whatever. That's one of the things that I'm like, something about saying no is like, oh, it's a new, it's been added into my vocabulary, so I'm grateful for that. And I'm
Yay.
really realizing that, it's a complete sentence because I can't do it. And it's so interesting, especially, and I don't know if you could relate, but being like a therapist or being in the social work field, it is so hard to put yourself first when our job is to is to serve. Like, it is
Yeah.
so hard. And to top that off, I'm able to tell my clients this all day. Like, what, I can, we can practice, we can have activities, exercises, the whole thing. And then once I finished my session, I think that was my turning point. Like, when I really became like a therapist and been able to see clients, my biggest thing is, oh, wow, I'm able to teach this and say these things out my mouth, but I'm not doing it. And so the way that I like to conduct my therapy sessions is I can't say anything I haven't tried yet, or I don't know much about, because I can't tell you, like I can't, like it just wouldn't come out right. I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I don't like not knowing what I'm talking about. So it's just like I can't tell you things, and then the moment I do say something that I know I haven't physically done, that's when I'm like, okay, this is where the work begins. Because now I have to work, like they have no idea that I'm walking on the journeys with them, or I've been on that journey. So we could navigate this together. We know, like I know how to shift and use these different languages so that it could fit, obviously, because everyone's different. But I don't like to say anything that I've never done or I'm not exposed to in a specific realm, because books teach you one thing, but life experiences teach you an entirely different thing. So when you put both of those together, you become a therapist.
Thanks.
So I'm saying that to say, like, why do you feel like, or do you feel like it's so hard to practice what you preach?
I think for me it's challenging because I was connected to I was worried about the outcome. You know, it's like if I said, I know what needs to be done when it's time to tell somebody else, but I'm not connected to their outcome. So it's like when I hear it, it's like, hey, set the boundary. This is what you need to do. If the person's upset, they have to deal with their own feelings. But then when it's my turn to do that, I'm thinking about, well, is this person still going to be my friend? Like, wait a minute. Am I still going to have somebody to hang out with? Is setting this boundary going to essentially leave me abandoned and alone if I do this? You know, but one way that I got over that though is by spending time with myself, you know, by building a relationship with myself, because now the relationship I have with Tanisha is so strong that everybody else is just extra anyway. So if they get upset, it's like you just further showing me that you're not supposed to come along my journey.
Listen, you better say that. Because, hello, who's better than me? Oh,
Right.
wait. No,
God
wait.
will send me some more friends that won't give me the foolishness that you're giving me.
Hello. Thank you so much. All right, so we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you have posted on your platform. And so I'm going to kind of read it out loud and speak about it. And then we're going to kind of dissect, like, where were you? What was going on? Like, you know, what was the meaning behind that?
Okay.
All right. So don't be nervous now. One of the things,
Like, when
or
did I
something
come?
that I chose and stuck out was, I'm thankful that God revealed all the people who wore masks, who are masks of kindness and love towards me. In hard times, they abandoned me, and that emotion made me strong and resilient. I was able to show myself love without distraction.
Oh, I remember that pose.
So,
I remember
talk
that
to me about
pose.
what was going on, what was happening, what kind of motivated you to post that?
So that's actually a quote from the book too. That's inside one of the chapters. And where I was in my life in that chapter was really being able to look at people leaving my life in a good way versus bad. Because I had always looked at it like, why is this happening to me? Am I doing something? Am my boundaries too harsh? And then it's like what it essentially did is it left me alone. And I was sitting in a place of gratitude, like, wow, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have even had this relationship with myself because I was so wrapped up in trying to be there for everybody else.
I agree. I definitely agree. I feel like hanging out with myself has been at first, and I always say, like, people be like, how could you take yourself out to eat? Like, how could you be by yourself? How come you're always by yourself? First of all, I'm a good time. Let's start there. Secondly, it wasn't easy at first. But then I had to change the narrative. Like, wait a minute, why can't I sit with myself? You know, you start to think, like, I want to keep all this company around, and I can't even be my first company that I want to keep. So that was something that I had to start to reflect, like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe the positions that people are having, I'm putting them higher than myself.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that this is kind of like off topic, but no, not off topic, but not what's here, but compartmentalizing people. That's something that you have pointed out. We're gonna take a pause from your quotes here, but that's also something that you have mentioned. Can you just kind of speak a little bit about that? Because I think that is huge.
Yes, that's really been a game changer for me. And I think when we start to define who we, because what I realized I was doing is I was eliminating people no matter how good of a time we had in life. It's like if they couldn't help me with a certain part of life, or if they didn't show up for me, then I was over generalizing everybody, and that wasn't working out for me. And so when I tried accepting people as they are, and then putting them in little compartments based on what they're good at, you know, the things we do together, I was able to expand my relationships in ways that I had never even thought about before. You know, it's like I was asking friends that were party friends to sit with me in my depression. They didn't know how to do that. You know, but then I said, but Tanisha, when you do feel better, they're your party friends. Like, they know where to go. They know what you should wear. They the ones that come over, do your makeup. Like, why would you let that go just because they can't sit with you in your depression? They still love you. The love just looks different.
Yes. Oh my God. I felt like that was so powerful to even listen to and hear, because it's so true. I was telling one of my friends this, like, about the partner that she was dating at the time. And it was just like, I feel like the idea that people say, like, your partner should be your everything is false, because they are also people. And like, you could look for great qualities, which is fine. And they're not going to know how to handle things. Like, your best friend that you've known for forever, and, you know, is not going to grasp on and know how to respond to things. This, like, no, your new partner is not going to know how to respond to things as well as your friend who's been with you for ages and, you know how to navigate. And so what I was telling her at that time was, you cannot expect her, you know, your partner to be everything for you. You know, like,
I
if I
love
look
that.
For my fiance, if I look for everything that I need, I am setting myself for disaster. Because there's no way. That's why
No
you have
way.
friends. That's why you have family. That's why there's people in for every single situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was super, super, like, amazing for you to even verbalize, because I didn't, sometimes, like I said, like, we don't necessarily always have the vocabulary to do or to say certain things. And I think that is exactly what I've been looking for. Like, you need to learn how to compartmentalize people, because then people are people. And so when you put too much of a high expectation on people, you just, it doesn't work out, you know, it doesn't work out. And like you said, you end up pushing people away who didn't deserve to be pushed away, who just deserve to be in the spot that they are in. You know, you start expecting them to do things that they never signed up for.
Exactly. Right. I love that. They never signed up for it. Yes.
You be dropping jet. Listen, I'm gonna drop her, all her Instagram, everything in the description. Make sure you guys circle back and look at all the things. Cause listen, I only picked out a few things that she posts, but the gems is there. The gems are there. Okay, don't say I never put y'all on, cause that's a lie.
Oh, thank
all
you.
right, the next thing that you have posted is, your needs are not too much. You are sharing them with the wrong people. Take time to assess your community and share with those who have shown you, who have shown you they can provide you with the support and feedback you need.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that one was from a while back.
Listen, I told you, I've been digging.
That one was from a while back, but it was still a goodie too.
Nice. So wait, what did you mean by that? Like, first off, I agree. Stop sharing things with people who don't deserve.
Yeah.
And the sense of community, like, what, how do you feel like somebody can find that sense of community in general?
Yeah. So the community part is, that's a part of the work. you know, as we heal. And it's about us really, you know, beginning to take the time to get to know ourselves and our needs. That way we can also understand, you know, who we're talking to. Because a lot of us, there's a lot of benefits to our past trauma. It's like we have the ability, most of us who struggle with people pleasing, have the ability to assess people very well. And so, but the problem is we don't know how to assess ourselves. And so once we get clear about who we are, what we need, the feedback that we need, it's like asking ourselves, what do I need to hear in this moment, you know, to get me to the next level of this decision or whatever it is. That's when we start to build community around, okay, I know my love language is, well, for example, mine is words of affirmation. So it's like when I'm going through hard times, I need, you know, I need people who are go-getters, who are going to say, Tanisha, you can do this, you got this, blah, blah, blah. Whereas like I also need that community of people who are reminding me, you know, that life is about having fun and it's okay to make mistakes. And so that's what I was meaning when I was talking about building up that community, because what we often do is we tell one or two people everything. And if we don't really know much about that person's bandwidth, now we're sharing information and we may not get any good feedback. You know, or a lot of times, you know, we get ghosted by friends or family members when we bring up certain topics. And that's how we know, okay, this person couldn't handle it. But most of the time we internalize it and say, they didn't show up for me. They didn't want to be there for me. And it's not about us. This person couldn't handle what we gave them. If it was somebody else, it would have been the exact same outcome.
Wow. Yep. Oh my goodness. So the also one of the things that you mentioned, I think it kind of goes right into what you were saying. Clearly, I've been doing a deep dive. Let's just
Yeah, girl, you've been doing.
But people pleasing also are, you know, they are oversharers with what they have. So I think that kind of goes into exactly what you were saying of just like being that level of like you're oversharing. And then being very disappointed with the outcome that you receive when, especially when you're that person with the, you've been allowing people to pour into, you know, give, you take on all of their things. And being a therapist, we are that person for everybody.
Yes.
And then when you turn around and you're like, all right, it's my turn. I finally got something. You're like pumped up about it. And you share and you don't realize that that wasn't their position in life, you know, that wasn't for them.
Yeah.
You get very disappointed and very low. And it's like, well, this person's not a good friend anymore. Like, no, they just, they're not equipped to hold that level of baggage. Because if they was that equipped, they probably wouldn't share that much about themselves to you. Just saying. Like if they always come to you with a problem, what makes you think that they are now magically going to have a solution when it's time for you to express your problems?
Ooh,
they couldn't come up with the problem
say,
solutions for you.
Please
you
say
know?
That
like they
again,
couldn't,
again.
They came to you for a reason. Why would they then help you? They couldn't help themselves.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a whole nother conversation, I think.
And it's a good one.
We can rant about this now. Listen.
Yes, that's another podcast.
Because, all right. Anyway, moving along. All right, so now we're going to get into our chat session. So a chat session is when people write in. You chose at very random. To be honest, I don't pick an order. The people write in and they kind of just explain how they're feeling. I felt like this one was kind of right on task and topic, so I kind of want to just share out. So this person did not add a name, which is completely fine by me. All right, so it says, I want to start off by saying that this podcast has motivated me more than you know, so keep the content coming. Thank you. Appreciate it. And then it says, I want to say to you that I watched your recent episode when you were speaking about checking on your strong friends, and that I am the strong friend. I find myself overextending myself just to make sure that I'm showing up for everyone, whether that is making plans with them or traveling long distance to connect with them. However, now that I look back, they don't really give me the same in return. Do you have any suggestions on what I should do following this realization? One of my conclusions I have made is that it's time for me to make new friends. Well, I agree.
Yeah, I
agree. I feel like that was like right on the money with this one. What kind of suggestions, Nisha, would you have given her or them?
I like the new friends idea. And before we do that, the advice I give would to be is to assess your friends, you know, and on a scale of 1 to 10, rate each friend. And then ask yourself, what do they need to do in order to get to a 10?
Okay.
You know, try to figure out what exactly is missing in this relationship, and then find a way to communicate that to your friends.
Wow.
Because sometimes people, what I found is because we are so strong-willed, we don't verbalize. We're not good at verbalizing when we're in pain, when there's something wrong, because we're not used to it. So we will hold very heavy loads when life comes, and then expect people to just like, well, you saw me do X, Y, Z. No, we still have to verbalize it. So I would say find a way to communicate how you feel in that friendship, and then share with that friend. And then if there's, you know, conflict, or if the person doesn't seem like they're trying to meet you halfway, then that's when we know, okay, yes, then this is somebody who really can't support me. But for right now, they may just think that that they are okay. She or him is doing okay. That is really not a big deal. They may not know the level of support they need in the moment.
That was good. Wow, I was gonna say just get new friends, but that I'm kidding. No, that was good. I really like what you said about rating them. That was a different perspective that I would have never probably had. Just rating them, and what does it take, or what do they need to do, or what kind of mindset do they have to be in order to reach the 10? And would they ever be able to reach the 10? And are you okay if they don't, you know?
Right. That's right.
That's huge. I don't know. I don't think I've ever thought about that scale. So that's a good one. One of the things I would have said, though, is, you know, communicate that. People are not mind readers. I've learned that. So people don't know what they don't know. And so if you don't communicate that, you're just literally the only one upset. And they, like you said, would think that you're fine. It's like, oh, okay, nothing is wrong. She's always around. So I know that, you know, she doesn't mind coming over here. She doesn't mind creating plans for us because you always do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're the only one who is expressing like this level of frustration, it sounds, or concern. But that's because it doesn't sound like you have been able to communicate that. Because I could be wrong. Maybe you didn't communicate that you have communicated with them, and then maybe we're talking about something completely different. But yeah, just try it out. At least let them know, like, this is how I'm feeling. I would, and then communicate your expectations.
Yeah.
Because they may not know what you need, but they also may not know how to get there. So sometimes if you want people around, you also have to help them navigate towards you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I love the way you phrased that. Yes, helping them navigate towards you. Yes.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. So we are coming towards an end. So we end each podcast. And listen, I forgot to do it at the last one, so please forgive me. But we end each of our episodes with, I don't know who needs to hear this, but. And so you will finish the phrase. And so this could be like a reflection from our episode today or just in life or whatever. So you can go first.
Oh, man, on the spot. Let me see. I've been trying to figure out.
I don't know mine either. That's why I'm like,
let's see. What would I tell myself? Okay, I think I got a good one. Like,
okay.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's okay to take a break. You don't have to do everything at one time.
Amen. Take a break. Oh my God, that's a good one. That is a good one because I could take a break right now. Break. No, that is a good one. Ooh, how do I top that? I don't know who needs to hear this, but I made it up and it's so hard. All right. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can heal from codependency. You can heal from codependency, and healing takes time. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can heal from codependency and allow yourself time to heal. Alrighty. Tanisha, I want you to plug yourself, all the things that you got going on, the book, where could we find it? I'm about to actually order it. My wallet is over there. I need to order it tonight. So what we have to do, what's going on, where can we follow you? Of course, all of your information will be in the description below, but all the things.
Yeah, so please follow me. It's TJ Self Care on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. You can also subscribe to my email listing. I send out free emails almost every week, about 3 times a month, with gems about setting boundaries, healthy communication, building up the community, all the things we talked about today. If you are new to discovering what codependency is, then I would highly encourage you to buy my book, When Depression and Anxiety Have a Voice. And if you have been healing for a while, or even if you kind of like, you have like even within just like a year, if you got a little skin in the game, as they say, healing doesn't look like that, would be a perfect fit for where you are right now. Both of those can be found on Amazon or my website. When Depression and Anxiety Have a Voice can actually be found universal. It's all over. Healing Doesn't Look Like That is still only on my website and Amazon for right now, but I'm going to be putting it on Barnes and Nobles and other sites. So,
okay, listen, go get both of them because we don't know nothing. One of my friends told me that the other day, and I'm still sitting with it, but she told me, you know nothing. And that, because I'm like, I need to do this. She looked at me and said, you know nothing. And I'm still sitting with that. So maybe that's going to be my next podcast. So we could just like dive into how that made me feel. But go get both. Listen, go get both just because we know nothing. And to grow and to learn is everlasting. And so why not? Thank you so much. This was awesome.
Welcome.
I appreciate you so much. You have such a pure soul. I appreciate you more than you know.
You're welcome. And for everybody here, type in the code, put the word heal in the promo code. It gives you $3 off the book.
So, okay, period. We're going to put that in the description. Listen, $3 is $3 to save a coin. We like her, okay? Yes. She's healing us and healing our pockets. Let's get into it.
Yes,
I like it. It's a 2-4. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, family. This concludes our episode of Uncomfortable Conversations. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. We'll see you next time.